Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
All right, this is Biz 1190 AM. We're having a few little technical glitches in the studio this morning, but that's okay. That's how we roll here. You know, it's our first time doing this show together, Mike and I. And there's also new technology. Who doesn't love new technology?
Well, I'm not liking it right now, but we'll get there.
That's right. So Dana Barrett here with you and Mike Roy, my producer. And we are here to catch you up on everything you missed last week live on the Business Radio X Week in Review. The number here in the studio, 404-231-1190. That's 404-231-1190, of course. So, Mike, aside from the technical glitches, how are you doing this weekend?
I'm fine. I'm doing fine. And it's certainly not going to hinder my weekend so far because I'm having a good one.
Well, any nerves I had are now gone.
Well, I'm glad I can do that.
Yeah, because you messed up more than I possibly could.
Blow right there. Doing this a little longer than you hear.
We have got some great interview clips from the Business Radio X studios from the past week that we'll be sharing throughout the show. And of course, some of the hot topics here in Atlanta and some headlines you may have missed, including some controversy over the Pink Pony Strip Club in the Brookhaven area. But first, I have to tell you about an experience that I had yesterday, because I think it's important for people to step outside their comfort zone and try something new, especially as you start to get older. And once you're out of college and you're not automatically trying new things every week. So yesterday, in an effort to do that, I went to a place called Dance 101 off of North Druid Hills, and I went to a belly dancing class. Yes, belly dancing. And I have to say, I moved parts of my body I didn't actually know I had. And now everything hurts. Yeah. Anyway, I highly recommend it. It's a cool studio. It's a studio for, and they did not pay me to say any of this, by the way, but it's a studio, a dance studio, sort of all for adults. And they have all kinds of different classes, hip hop and ballet and belly dancing and jazz and a lot of fitness sort of related stuff. And I was nervous walking in the door because I had never been there before, but it was a great place and really cool. So I recommend doing something to get out of your comfort zone. And if you're not willing to try belly dancing, you could try something a little more tame. In any case, moving on, there's always something in the news these days about our personal information, about our data, and where it's ending up. Of course, we have extremes like the Edward Snowden NSA leak story where, you know, we thought things were private, like phone calls, and apparently they were not. But there's also a lot of data that we put out there ourselves for a variety of reasons. Medical data, shopping data. You go online for an internet site and you type in all your personal information. If you want to enter a contest nowadays, you have to basically give them your firstborn in order to enter and all those kinds of things. And it's always a fine line because you have to look at a website and decide if it's trustworthy or not. You know, do I feel comfortable? Is this a brand name that I'm familiar with? Am I comfortable that they can protect my data? And it's not always clear that they can or that they do. A lot of times, I don't know about you guys, but I've gotten letters from reputable companies saying, by the way, your data might have been stolen by somebody, so you might want to just keep an eye out. I don't know how you really, unless you pay for a service that's protecting you, I don't really know how you can truly protect yourself from identity theft.
Pretty scary.
Yeah. And there's a fine line with all of this about, even with this whole NSA story, and, you know, there's a very fine line between protection and privacy. How much are we willing to compromise in order to stay safe, let's say, from identity theft or from terrorism or, you know, any kind of threat, versus how much do we want to give up in terms of what people then know about us, right? Where the cameras are, what they're seeing. You think about the Boston bombing episode, for example, and the reason that we caught those guys is because we gave up some of our privacy. There's cameras all over those streets, and we're all okay with that because it allowed us to catch the bombers. But at the same time, we're all very paranoid because we don't want if we're the good guy, we don't want the bad guy getting our credit cards and spending our money, or, you know, figuring out that we're out of town and coming and invading our homes or whatever. So it's a very interesting balance. And I wonder sometimes as a society where we're headed and how we're going to work this all out. And I still think it's going to be a few years in the making before we get it worked out. But one of the guests we had on Business Radio X this past week was kind of talking about a related subject. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up. It was Tom Brown, who was on the Atlanta Business Radio show with hosts Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. And he's the senior vice president of financial services for LexisNexis. He was talking about the data that they capture and how they kind of help banks manage risk and help prevent identity theft and money laundering and all kinds of things. And I do have a clip from that that I want to play for you. But first of all, I do have to say before we air the clip that he talks about, in the very beginning, you'll hear Tom talking about bad actors. And just so everyone knows, he's not actually talking about Kristen Stewart or Dwayne Johnson. He's talking about people that, or whoever you happen to think is a bad actor. He's talking about...
Nice plug there for those two actors.
I know. Oopsie-daisy. It's funny because my real bad actor reference is Julia Stiles, but then I was afraid nobody would know who she is. She's horrible. Google her if you don't know who I'm talking about. Anyhow, Tom is not actually talking about those kind of bad actors in this clip. He's talking about people who are masquerading as something that they are not. So anyway, let me play this clip for you, and then we'll talk about it.
We actually maintain databases of both bad actors as well as the general population. And so we can help the bank understand that the customer coming into their branch is who they say they are. That protects both the bank as well as the individual. If you think about anyone that you might have might know that's been a victim of identity theft, it's a very catastrophic event for that consumer.
Sure.
It's costly to the financial institution, but very often that type of identity theft is used to perpetrate money laundering.
Now, how often is identity theft happen? Is that like you hear about it in the news constantly? Is this something that's happening every single day? Like people, like regular people, should be concerned about this every day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's unfortunately those that perpetrate fraud do it on a full-time basis.
This is their job.
That's their job, and with all the tools that are available and the prevalence of the internet and less face-to-face banking, it makes that activity, easier. So that requires the banks and others participating in the financial sector to rely upon electronic databases to protect themselves and the society and society as a whole. So it is very common. And as you crack down and are able to curtail one type of fraud, the fraudsters find another method. And so it's an ever kind of an ever-changing battle to prevent fraud. So it is a big problem and very common that goes on day in and day out.
And that's why a company like yours is so vital to your clients, because this is what you spend your day doing, right? Is trying to stay ahead of the bad actors.
Yeah, there's a good example. I mean, if you go back 10 years, what would be very common is someone would come into a bank and use a social security number and identity from someone who's deceased. Well, now that's pretty easy to combat against because we have very reliable databases on individuals that have filed for Social Security benefits, or we have other sources about individuals that are deceased. So that's a pretty easy thing to stop. So you see it now evolve into other areas. Now it may be someone coming in and trying to use a grandmother's Social Security number. It could be someone that's using a foreclosed home as a Dropbox for receiving a credit card application. And so
the home's foreclosed, and they just swing by the mailbox.
Use the mailbox.
Wow.
And what we're able to do is to provide insight on many dimensions, so on the identity itself, the address in question, and we can show, well, that's a foreclosed house. That's going to be higher risk if you're mailing there. That address does not belong to that individual, so therefore this is something that, it could be legitimate. It could be someone just bought the house. At the same time, it's worth further scrutiny by the bank. And so we engage in that. We also maintain databases around the world that governments publish, other authorities publish, that list individuals that are the bad actors. A very common list in the United States is the Office of Foreign Asset Control. That maintains lists of those that are sanctioned in the U.S. government. Basically mandates that no one can do business with them. But really, every government around the globe maintains different lists. So China has a list and so on. So we're able to maintain those lists so as our customers are operating in different jurisdictions, they can have access to that information, and that's just another dimension of risk control.
All right, that was Tom Brown again from LexisNexis on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. You can hear the rest of that interview at atlantabusinessradio.businessradiox.com. We'll be right back.
Biz 1190 brings you top business, economic, and financial market reports from newsmakers and analysis with the Wall Street Journal reports.
On the hour.
And only here on Biz 1190 and iHeartRadio station.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Check out my new time machine.
Does it work?
Hit the button.
Hey, it's Napoleon.
Oui.
Check out the future.
Hey, you have a nice house. Why don't I?
You didn't save any money, buddy.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and fix that.
Yeah.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Today, nearly half our nation's fighting forces are members of the Guard and Reserve. When they are called to active duty, they leave behind a family, a community, and a job. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, a Department of Defense agency, honors and protects the bond between service members and their civilian employers. Whether serving our country or supporting those who do, we all serve. To learn more about ESGR, call 1-800-336-4590 or visit esgr.mil.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let us begin. Are you a bear? Does your boat fly south for the winter with the other boats? Please tell me you answered no, which means you need to get a fishing license and have your boat registered, because it helps local conservation efforts. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
Glaucoma is often called the sneak thief of sight because it slowly robs people of their vision over time. Glaucoma can be found in adults and, in rare instances, even children. Unfortunately, once vision is lost from glaucoma, it cannot be restored. The only way to know if you have glaucoma is by getting an eye exam from your eye doctor. For more information on glaucoma and glaucoma treatments, please call Prevent Blindness Georgia at 404-266-2020 or visit pbga.org.
Biz 1190. Weather.
Times of clouds and sunshine this afternoon and evening with a shower or thunderstorm around, high 85. Partly cloudy later tonight, low 72. Some sunshine, then increasing clouds tomorrow with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm, mainly during the afternoon and evening hours. 85 for a high tomorrow. 88 Tuesday with clouds and some breaks of sun. Still a couple of thunderstorms around and still some sunshine Wednesday and Thursday, but we're still going to have that risk for showers and thunderstorms. High both days, 89. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Brian Thompson for Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. You are listening to the Business Radio X Weekend Review here on Biz 1190. I am still Dana Barrett, and the number in the studio is still 404-231-1190. Before we leave the topic of data and personal information out there completely, I do want to say that, you know, while we have to make decisions on a daily basis about where we want to put our name and address and phone number and maybe social security number, and sometimes we feel like we don't have a choice. You know, I need to buy something. I have no choice. I have to give them my information. One thing we do have a choice about is what we choose to tweet. And if you happen to be catching the headlines this week here in Atlanta, Atlanta Falcon Roddy White had to apologize for his tweets following the Zimmerman verdict. If you didn't catch it, here is what he said. Bleeping Zimmerman got away with murder today. Wow, what kind of world do we live in? Followed by his next tweet, all them jurors should go home tonight and kill themselves for for letting a grown man get away with killing a kid. Followed by the next tweet. It's crazy how people on Twitter want me to get in trouble for a tweet that they are retweeting because they want something to happen. Thanks. And then the next day, the apology. I understand my tweet last night was extreme. I never meant for the people to do that. I was shocked and upset about the verdict. I am sorry. Here's the thing, Roddy. How many Alec Baldwins and general purpose knuckleheads do we have to have out there on Twitter saying stupid stuff, Miley Cyrus, et cetera, before we realize that this is not a good idea? If you have a thought, think about whether or not it's actually good to put it out to the entire universe in a tweet that can't be really taken back ever.
Nope, not at all. They know he said it.
You know, it's amazing to me the level of knuckleheadedness that people demonstrate on Twitter. When you're a nobody, like Mike and I, we can tweet whatever we want and nobody's paying attention. But these guys that are sports players and in the public eye really need to watch it. It's amazing to me that they don't. Anyway, think before you tweet. And parents, we have a new thing we have to teach kids, which, you know, look both ways before you cross the street. And now think before you tweet. Just a suggestion. All right. Going through some of the happenings here in Atlanta this week, if you have not been downtown in a while and haven't been watching the local news, you may have missed the fact that we now have a giant Ferris wheel downtown. The Skyview Ferris wheel opened on Tuesday, I believe, with a ribbon-cutting ceremony with the mayor and all that good stuff. And I have to say, I was a little skeptical about us having a giant Ferris wheel in downtown. And for those of you who are not aware of this and haven't been following the news stories, it's not like a carnival Ferris wheel. It's like the London Eye kind of Ferris wheel. It's enclosed cars and it's fancy schmancy. And it's, you know, it's a tourist attraction. And it's right down there by, you know, the aquarium and all that good stuff, Centennial Olympic Park and all that stuff. So if you're down in downtown spending the day, the Ferris wheel is now something else you can do. And I was also skeptical about price, because anytime there's a new attraction, I'm always like, oh, it's going to be a fortune. No, $13.50 for a ticket, not too bad. And I think like $8.50 for kids or something like that. So I have mixed feelings about it being there. I haven't tried it yet. I haven't gone up in there. I don't know what it looks like in the skyline because I haven't actually been down there to check it out. But I will, and I will get back to you. Have you seen it, Mike?
No, I haven't, but you're making me curious to go see it.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's so much more downtown now than there used to be that it's one of my friends was asking me the other day if I knew any restaurants downtown. And the Business Radio X studio that I was working out of was in downtown until a couple of weeks ago. We just moved it to Atlantic Station. But so I was downtown a couple times a week, and there are great restaurants down there and all kinds of cool stuff. Though I will warn you, if you're going downtown, which I do recommend, there's tons to do down there. Mm-hmm. They are putting the streetcar in. So if you've also been living with your head in the sand in Atlanta, you might not have heard about the streetcar. So the streetcar is coming in, and it's going to open in 2014. And so right now, there's a lot of road closures. So just plan some extra time or take MARTA, because yes, it's SMARTA. I will also say, in terms of making plans to go downtown, that you may want to check out Atlanta Downtown Restaurant Week, which is July 27th to August 4th. And a lot of the really good restaurants that I'm referring to, like White Oak Kitchen and Cocktails, and there's a bunch of good ones down there, they do specials for this. So it's like a $15, a $25, or a $35 fixed price menu. So you kind of can try places that would be more expensive than that. So it's pretty cool. From restaurants to dumb stuff. I love showbiz. I'm a showbiz addict. Uh-huh. Celebrity gossip and all that stuff. So I have to share that work on Dumb and Dumber 2 starts this week in Atlanta. Yes, they will be filming Dumb and Dumber 2, a movie that I could barely sit through because I don't like that kind of humor. But whatever, I know it was really popular and all you guys loved it. Can you believe that that movie was in 1994? That's how long ago? Yeah.
Almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. And by the time, you know, the new one's going to come out, it's going to be 20 years because it's going to be 2014 in the summer.
And they're both aged.
And they're both
the original.
Right. And they're both signed up to come back. Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, we're talking about. They're both going to be here in Atlanta. So keep your binoculars out for spottings.
Well,
of them.
Has to be better than Dumb and Dumberer, which I didn't care for. And part of that was actually filmed at my old high school.
Oh, cool.
So I like that.
Now, Dumb and Dumber 2, of course, 2 is spelled wrong. It's not the right 2, of course, because they have to do that because they're dumb and maybe dumber. But the other reason I had to mention this story is just because there is now a new significant female role in the movie that has not yet been cast. So they are potentially going to cast that here in Atlanta. So I just want to throw my hat in the ring. Just saying. All right. So, you know, Jim Carrey.
I'll support you there.
Thank you. Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels, you know, casting directors, feel free to, you know, give me a call.
Don't forget about me.
Tweet me, you know, whatever. You can actually tweet me at Dana H. Barrett. And I guess I should mention you can go get all the information on Business Radio X at businessradiox.com. And I'm running my mouth. I'm not paying attention to time. I've got another great clip that I want to play for you coming up in a minute. Also, before we get to that, if you've noticed all the construction in Midtown, there's still a lot of development going on there. But one of the things happening was on 10th and Peachtree, sort of between Peachtree and Piedmont, they were kind of redoing that hotel there, and it's now open. That was the Hyatt Atlanta. It wasn't. It is now the Hyatt Atlanta Midtown. So it's now open, and it looks really pretty from the picture. So if you're looking for a place to put your, you know, family or your business colleagues when they come in town, you could check that out. And last but not least, MARTA is reaching out to the community looking for development around the King Memorial Station. You know, most cities, when the MARTA or the Metro or the T or whatever they are there, development sort of automatically takes place. Well, this hasn't happened around the King Memorial Station. And so MARTA's actually reaching out to developers saying, hey, there's a lot of empty land here. It's a really great opportunity. It's actually going to be near the streetcar as well, that area. And they're looking for development to happen there. So anyway, on the Good Morning Atlanta show last week, I had the president and CEO of Zoo Atlanta, and the membership director from Central Atlanta Progress. So that was Dan Williams from Central Atlanta Progress and Raymond King from Zoo Atlanta. And they joined me sort of in a conversation about this MARTA station. So listen in.
This has been, you know, an expectation of MARTA, frankly, since it was developed. And there's been a lot of studies done on it, on the potential around there. And you're right, it just naturally hasn't happened the way I think anybody would want it to. There's a huge opportunity. There have been some good proven successes.
Sure. Yeah, in that area, so King Memorial is actually, you know, sort of, I guess you would say it's Old Fourth Ward, kind of getting into the boundary of Old Fourth Ward in downtown. And right in that area, you have just a block away the streetcar.
Yeah.
And where the streetcar will come in. So, you know, you really have kind of a double whammy there of opportunity as it relates to transit and transit options. So it naturally makes sense to focus on that area. It's underdeveloped. You know, the Edgewood, as we've talked on the show before, you know, the Auburn Avenue, Edgewood area, just seeing incredible change right now. So to move that way towards King Memorial Station makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I always find it really interesting because, you know, I lived in D.C. for a while when I was younger, and I remember looking for apartments, and I would specifically sort of look for the metro station and then sort of fan out, like, how far do I want to walk to get to the metro station, or do I really want to ride the bus or whatever? And so there is so much opportunity, and I think it'll be really interesting, especially in some areas like that, where there is space for not just like a thing. There's space for like apartments and restaurants and mixed use and all kinds of space available. So do you think will there be deals made to kind of make this happen?
I don't know. Raymond is the former banker. He might have a better insight on that. I mean, I know that there's certainly, I mean, all that is part of the area that we're doing economic development planning work associated with the streetcar.
Yeah.
And so it's an area of you know, importance to us, but you know, in terms of deals.
Well, the good news is, I mean, the environment's certainly much better. I mean, you could have, you know, talked about this 3 years ago and it just would have not gone anywhere. The financing market wasn't there.
Right.
But the banks have certainly, you know, opened up their risk appetite again and are doing deals and are active in the real estate market. I think one of the challenges with these situations is that often it takes some high density to make the economics work. And so think about Piedmont in Buckhead, where they got the Bell South, you know, mini headquarters there. You put a lot of density there, a lot of people. It made it, you know, work. When you've got more of a residential area, I think the economics are just more difficult for a developer to make work.
All right. That was a little clip from the Good Morning Atlanta show on businessradiox.com. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-568-ORDER. That's 1-800-568-ORDER. 1-800-568-ORDER.
How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear. Look for FAST. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started.
My entire chest.
Shortness of breath.
Very fatigued.
Nauseated. Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy. I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart. No way.
Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body. Go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can fight.
Visit GoRedForWomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
CrossFit East Cobb presents the 2013 5K Run with WOD stations Saturday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. The event will be at CrossFit East Cobb, 4696 Lower Roswell Road. All proceeds go to benefit the Shepherd Center's Share Military Initiative. Find out more about the 5K Run with WOD stations Saturday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. Go to CrossFit.com or call 205-639-2390 or email Chris Sims at csims02@gmail.com.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I sat home alone for months. I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
All right, we are back. This is still the Business Radio X.
That bumper music is so catchy.
I know, I love it. It's jazzy. I picked it out.
We're dancing in the studio here, and it's. I wish you could see us. Well, maybe not, but.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe we should keep this to ourselves between you and me. I'm Dana Barrett. We're back with the Business Radio X Week in Review with the cool jazzy bumper music. And before we get too much further, I do want to tell you a little bit more about BusinessRadioX.com. In case you're not familiar with it, go over to BusinessRadioX.com, check it out. There's all kinds of great radio happening there every week. Lots of different kinds of shows, specialties, technology, healthcare. You know, there if there's a niche, we have a radio show about it over there at BusinessRadioX.com. And we're broadcasting 24/7 from four different studios around Atlanta, and it's kind of fun stuff. So check that out. And it was actually hard, you know, coming up with some clips to share with you today because there's so much to choose from. But the next clip that I picked that I want to share with you is about jobs, because jobs, you know, that obviously it's a big issue for most people. Need one if they don't already have one. A lot of people that have one would like a better one. A lot of companies have to decide how many of those things, jobs, they can actually have and can afford. And so it's a big economic indicator, obviously, and it's important, you know, subject for all of us. And the thing about it is, you can hear national economic forecasts and national jobs indicators, but they don't necessarily really get to what's happening in your town or in your city or in your industry or your sector or whatever, because it is a little bit different no matter what. And so this week on the Results Matter radio show, which is a product of Burr & Forman I'm just doing everybody's ads right now. But anyway, the Burr Inform and Results Matter radio show happens every Tuesday. And this week we had a couple different people on that show. Lee Cantor and Stone Payton are the hosts of that show as well. And this week, one of our guests was Rebecca Harrell, who is the regional vice president of Randstad. And that's Randstad Staffing. Most people have heard of them. And she kind of gives her outlook on jobs in this clip. So take a listen to her.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I hear so many mixed reviews always, and what I can share is just what I've seen. And one of the great things about Atlanta, it is a huge growth opportunity in varied industries, and we have truly seen an uptick in the opportunities that you see. You can see it out in job postings that are out there, especially for our RandstadStaffing.com. You can also see it in some of the other job sites. But for us, it's really seen a true growth of opportunity. A lot of it is specialized depending upon, if we're looking at transportation or healthcare, financial services, construction. All those are truly a growth, and probably one of the biggest growths that we've seen has been the professional business services that's probably had the biggest increase, especially for May.
Now, how do you define professional business services?
It's really the, business-to-business type opportunities, whether it's sales, whether it's, in my world of office and admin, where we can provide office support to businesses. So it's really any type of professional businesses consulting type firm.
But it doesn't include middle-aged radio host, which is what I was fishing for, I think. You know, we had a conversation earlier in the week on a different show out of the Glen Lake studio with those economic development people, and they were saying one of the things that make this whole area so attractive is we've got a good wealth of talent here in town, don't we?
Absolutely. It's interesting as, we say our clients, and our clients are actually part of our talent as well, and it's very important for us to be able to engage, strong talent out there because we want to be able to fill the opportunities for our clients. So it's very important for us to find strong people in the marketplace, and so we're constantly adding to, our databases that we have and really networking and getting to know the people that are out there in the marketplace, especially ones that are, if they're ready to make change, or ones that are, maybe it's a timing issue, but we want to know who you are. So that's very important to us as we start adding, our opportunities, especially even internally as well as externally for our clients.
So you're kind of a leading indicator, right, for the economy, because the busier you are, the more that companies are hiring somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's not just, I think a lot of times we take a step back and say, well, a few years ago it was very client driven where, they were letting a lot of people go and hiring or keeping some of the strong people. And so it kind of shifted. And I think it's really been more what I've seen of a candidate marketplace where a lot of, companies are retaining their talent and they're actually growing new opportunities. So before where, one person was doing maybe multiple jobs of maybe two or three people, what we've really seen is they're really hiring additional people to staff.
All right. That was, again, a clip from the Burr Inform and Results Matter radio show. That was Rebecca Harrell, the regional vice president of Randstad, talking to the show hosts Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. If you want to hear the rest of that interview, you can catch that at resultsmatterradio.businessradiox.com. And, I do think one of the interesting things that she said there is that they want to know about you. Even if you're not looking right now, or you're not sure if you're what you're looking for, it's sort of they want to know you're out there because they might have something that is not exactly what you're doing, but your skills will fit. So, it brings me to a point that I think, many years ago, we didn't have to do this 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I wasn't around 30 years ago. Well, I was, but not looking for a job. And, but, when I got out of college, you put your resume together. First of all, you typed it. Does anybody even know what a typewriter is anymore? Mike, do you know what a typewriter is?
I've seen one or two before. I think I used one when I was a kid, but
nice. But they're like an antiquity to you. They're like you don't even really. They're like
right.
They're like a cool thing you might have on a table because it's cool and antique.
Not that looking. Young, but yes.
Close enough.
Yes.
Close enough. I mean, really, honestly, typewriters went away when I was just out of college. They were gone. So or right around then when I was in college. Anyway, my point being that you sort of put your resume together and that was it, and you were done. But now it's all technology based. So it's not only are you expected to change your resume for every job you apply for, which I think, frankly, is absurd. You also have to have your resume put together in such a way that an automated robot monster will recognize and say you're good for the job. So frankly, I think the whole system needs to be rethought. And no offense to the HR people, because I know most of the HR people were hired in to do that job, and that those are the systems that are in place, and they don't have the power to change them. But I would love to see some dramatic change in hiring practices, because to me, you know, I have a really varied background. Nobody would ever hire me if I put my resume into one of those systems. I would get kicked out immediately. And that's ridiculous. And I think, you know, there needs to be a human element in that resume weed through process. And I know some companies do still do that, and they really need to, because there are a lot of good people out there who maybe don't know what buzzwords to put on their resume. And they just get lost in the system. And of course, it also means that the system overall has totally changed, in that in order to get a good job nowadays, you have to be selling yourself all the time. You have to be networking. You have to make sure that you don't look like a schlumpadinka when you go out to the grocery store, because you might meet somebody who could be your next boss. Right?
Right. Well, I've also heard it's a general rule of thumb that your resume needs to be one page.
Yes.
Well, that gets increasingly difficult the more jobs you get. You kind of have to remove certain parts, which could be important, from past jobs. So sure, that could hurt you too.
Right. And it's always a balancing act of knowing what to keep in, mm-hmm, and what to take out. And, you know, frankly, the other thing that used to happen, and this was more my parents' generation than mine, but people used to get a job at a company and stay there for 20, 30, 40 years until they retired. And they would have retirement benefits, and they had their white picket fence and a nice life, and all was well. Well, not anymore. Not only do we change jobs some ungodly amount of time in our careers, in our lives, but we also change careers. And so every time you redo that resume, you're trying to figure out, how do I use my skills from when I was in sales in medical technology to shift to this new career that I want? And they are valuable skills. But when you're trying to make those shifts, it's just, it can be treacherous. And I think what ends up happening is there are a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, 50s who are ready to make a transition, have really good skill set, but don't know how to sort of put that paperwork together to get the right position, or maybe haven't been networking for a while because they were in a job and they were in a particular field, and now they have to get out there and start trying to meet people in a new field. And it can get really taxing. So I would love to see some dramatic change in
you and me both.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people feel that way. So I think if we just keep pushing and pushing, somebody's,
they'll finally listen.
Somebody's going to come up with an app. There's going to be an app for that.
Well, there's apps for everything now.
I mean,
it's crazy.
There should be an app. Let's make one up right now. I think there should be an app where you can like feed your resume into it, and then it'll just tell you, oh, you need these 10 buzzwords in order to get the job you want. Or you tell it what job you want, and it tells you what the buzzwords are that you need to get into the system.
Yes, I have no objection to that whatsoever.
Yeah.
At all. And that's a great idea.
I think that needs to happen, because I just see so many really good people sort of...
It would help so many people out who may get overlooked for a job because their resume is too long, or they just don't know which parts you have to take out by sticking to that one-page limit.
Right. And then there are things, I know for myself, there are things that happen, like you have a company... I worked for a company, you know, 20 years ago that has literally changed names 5 times and then went out of business. But so listing the company name that it was when I worked there is absolutely meaningless to anyone reading my resume. So do I put the name that it was last? Do I, you know, there's all these questions, I think.
Well, they may not know what it is. If you say it changed names 5 times, you have to kind of guess which one they might have heard of, especially if it's out of business now.
Right. Right.
You kind of just have to guess, and hopefully that's the one they're looking for, and it may not be.
Right. And you know what? I think it's actually one of the big reasons a lot of people become entrepreneurs is because they can't mm-hmm. deal with the freaking job system. They're like, I would like to go work for somebody. I would like to have the security of a corporate job and benefits and all those things, but I cannot get through this freaking system. So I'm just going to open a laundromat and be done with it. Okay, maybe not a laundromat, but whatever
works
is,
for you,
right?
Yes.
Actually, laundromats are a really good business to be in, from what I hear. Mm-hmm. You can make a lot of money at those.
Sure. So not everyone has a washer or dryer, and
college towns, like there are certain places where they really do well, and it's like a cash and carry business, and I've heard you can make a lot of money at that. So just saying, if you're looking for a business, you might want to check that opportunity out. Anyway, we could talk about HR practices, and I probably will, as this show goes on, talk about various parts of the hiring practice, the salary negotiations, all those kind of things, a lot, because I have some hot buttons there, things that just really burn me up. You know, and that's what radio is for, right? To air, isn't that what To vent my issues and my problems?
They only hear your words. They don't see your face.
That's right.
That's the benefit.
That's right. They can't come after me. Well, maybe they can. But anyway, if you want to talk about any of this stuff, you can certainly tweet me at Dana H. Barrett. You can call us whenever you want here at the studio, 404-231-1190. We're happy to talk to you. Again, don't forget to check out Business Radio X website, businessradiox.com, for all the great programming there. And
she's signaling to me, what do we do?
I'm going like, what? Do you want me to wrap up or should I just keep talking for the rest of the hour? What are we doing here?
We'll take just one more break. All right. It won't be too long, though. We'll be right back.
Check out my new time machine.
Does it work?
Hit the button.
Hey, it's Napoleon.
Oui. Check out the future.
Hey, you have a nice house. Why don't I?
You didn't save any money, buddy.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and fix that.
Yeah.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field, staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date, wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. March for Babies! Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
America's wounded warriors are coming home. After serving on foreign shores, these brave men and women are returning to their families and communities. Many have wounds you can see, and many have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Now that these warriors are back home, they are ready to enter the civilian workforce. To help, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These extraordinary men and women bring proven world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork to the job. And to ensure the right warrior finds the right job, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right match. When you hire a wounded warrior, you hire an intelligent, talented, and committed new employee. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review on Biz 1190 AM. I'm Dana Barrett. You can call us here at the studio, 404-231-1190. You can tweet me at Dana H. Barrett, but don't tweet me too hard. Okay, I've been waiting to use that for like a year. It's really bad. Sorry. You know, I hope you've been enjoying some of the clips we brought from Business Radio X studios, and we'll have more of those as the weeks go on. But and, of course, you know, you can catch all the great programming on Business Radio X at businessradiox.com. And I do have some previews. I'm going to give you a rundown of what's coming up next week on Business Radio X. But first, no talk radio show would be complete without some divisive controversy. So in today's divisive controversy segment, I want to talk about the Pink Pony Strip Club in the Brookhaven area here in Atlanta. If you're listening outside of Atlanta, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But stay with me. One of the things that's interesting for me coming from the Northeast, where the city limits and townships and counties and all of those things have kind of been well defined for many, many years, That's not true in a newer city like Atlanta. And we have new cities deciding to become cities on a what seems like a pretty regular basis around here. We had Sandy Springs a couple of years ago deciding to become a city. We had Johns Creek deciding to become a city. And the newest addition to the list of cities in and around Atlanta is the city of Brookhaven. And I, you know, you have to assume that people are making these decisions because they're either unhappy with the services they're getting from their county, or those services are fine, but they're too expensive. And they decide they can do a better job themselves. And then the other thing that they want to do, generally speaking, is have more control over what happens around their homes, generally speaking, because they want their property values to be better, higher. So, alas, here comes the city of Brookhaven, and there is one strip club that falls within the city limits of Brookhaven, and that is the Pink Pony. And the Pink Pony, for those of you who have not been there, is sort of around Buford Highway and North Druid Hills area. It's kind of around back there, and it's sort of hidden off the beaten path. If you don't know that it's there, you might not even notice it because it's sort of set back from the road a little bit. So from my personal opinion, they're not bothering anybody. And a lot of people work there. They pay a lot of taxes into now the city of Brookhaven, something like $450,000 a year in tax revenue from the club. However, Brookhaven, in its infinite wisdom, has decided to pass an ordinance to not allow alcohol, serving alcohol and nude dancing in the same establishment. Was this aimed at the Pink Pony? She said questioningly. Duh. Of course it was. Ridiculous. You know,
that seems to be most of their business, I would think.
Yeah. Well, they can't choose. I mean, if they choose alcohol, then they're no longer a strip club.
They're a bar.
And they can't compete as a bar. Mm-hmm. Right. And if they choose nude dancing, who wants to watch that without a beer in their hand? I'm just saying, or a whiskey or something. I think that's where they make a lot of their money, is the drink sales. So they can't provide nude dancing and not, I mean, what are they going to raise the door price to like $70 to walk in the door? Like, they
and
need
no
people,
one will pay that.
Right. They need people to drink. So obviously, this ordinance is aimed at the Pink Pony and trying to shut it down. And, you know, it's to me, I'm going to jump on a side here. To me, it's a morality play. You know, they're saying they don't like the idea of, you know, the powers that be are saying they don't like the idea of women stripping for money, and they don't want it in their community. That may not be the reasoning. It may be more that they want to develop that corner to be something else. That's, I don't know. But the bottom line is they're going after this club with this ordinance. And so, of course, the Pink Pony is suing them. And I think the greatest likelihood is that they will end up getting grandfathered in, and so that no more strip clubs can come into the city of Brookhaven. But the Pink Pony, hopefully, for their sake and for the women that work there and the guys that are the bouncers and the customers that like to go, that it'll stay. It's been there for 22 years. They're not hurting anybody. They've never actually been in trouble. No citations. They have not broken any laws. Nothing. So, you know, it just always strikes me as interesting that this is why I hate government. Now, this is not a political show. You know, this is a show kind of in support of business and in support of commerce. And to me, this is a business. There are obviously patrons, or they wouldn't be in business for 22 years.
Right.
There are guys, whether it's guys or gals that want to go there for bachelor parties, you know, because it's funny, because they like it, because it's hot to them, whatever the reason. There are people supporting that place. And like I said, they're not doing anything illegal. They're not doing, you know, they're not getting in trouble in any way. There's no gang violence outside their door. There's nothing crazy happening there at all. And, you know, to me, it's just a waste of taxpayer money to get into a fight like this. And I live in Brookhaven, by the way. I would much rather have the city of Brookhaven spend money on having better services for me. Let's say this, for example. I was in a car accident in Brookhaven when I first moved in. A couple of months ago, and the police officer, it was my fault, so I can't even blame anybody else, but the police officer was very lovely. He came by, he handled the whole situation, he wrote up the thing, whatever, and I got a ticket. And the ticket was I think it was just under $200, but there were other people in court that day who had $300 tickets and whatever. Mm-hmm. I would like to see them maybe reduce those a little bit and not spend money going after the Pink Pony. Like, instead of spending my money going after the Pink Pony, how about spending money so that I'm okay with paying for the cost of that policeman to come and do his job? It was my fault. Somebody had to come take care of it.
Right.
No problem. I'm willing to pay for that. But could it be a little less? You know? And could we leave the Pink Pony alone? That's all I'm saying. I never thought I would say the words Pink Pony so many times in a 5-minute period ever in my life. But anyway, you know, that's kind of some of the stuff that's going on around in Atlanta. And, you know, there is so much information. I know we say this in our little show opener, but it's true. I mean, between the 24/7 news cycle and, you know, sometimes the local news gets so kind of mired down in school district stuff and fires and whatever that you kind of miss some of the stuff that you actually might care about. And so those are the stories that I'm going to try to bring to you every weekend here on this show. And next week on Business Radio X, I've got a couple things to tell you about. On Monday, the 22nd at 10 a.m., High Velocity Radio will be interviewing Cara Tarantino and Amanda Helmley with Vericom, along with Demi Tanner from Axia Payments. You can tune into that show at highvelocityradio.businessradiox.com. On Tuesday at 10, we've got the Byrne Foreman Results Matter radio show, and they will be focusing on the upcoming October Digital Atlanta Conference at Atlantic Station. And they'll talk about all the programming associated with that event. You can catch that show by going to resultsmatterradio.businessradiox.com. Also on Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m. out of our Gwinnett studio, you can tune into Partners for Success. That's a show presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services. Wednesdays, you can listen to my show, of course, Good Morning Atlanta. And this week, I'm going to have four of this year's winners from the Atlanta's 101 Best and Brightest Companies to Work For event. You can go to goodmorningatlanta.businessradiox.com to hear that show. At 10 a.m. on Wednesday, catch Silver Lining in the Cloud. And Thursday, catch our longest-running show, Atlanta Business Radio, where we'll be featuring the Georgia Society of CPAs talking about not-for-profit taxation. This has been the Week in Review.
And it has been fun.
And it has been fun. Check out businessradiox.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Dana Barrett. We'll see you next week.